Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here every Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And if you don't listen on Sunday mornings, you may always listen to the podcast online at lava1053.com or at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Today, we're going to talk about a very historic trail here on Hawaii Island that has been critical to Hawaiian life for nearly 2,000 years. The Alakahakai Trail encompasses 175 miles around our island, connecting Ahupua'a or land divisions around the island. The trail still exists, or at least parts of it do, and it is still used today. Parts of it have been and are being restored, and the Alakahakai Trail has been recognized by the National Park Service and is part of the National Park System. We're going to talk today with two folks who are associated with it, partly because of the Alakahakai Trail Association, which is a partner to the National Park Service. Eric Arakaki is the National Park Service's superintendent for the trail. He was born and raised in Hawaii and has been practicing community-based economic development, housing development, and land stewardship here for 25 years. He's held planning-related positions for Hawaii Housing Authority, Molokai Ranch, the Nature Conservancy of Hawaii, the Department of Hawaiian Homelands. Good morning. Aloha, Eric.
Good morning, Sherry.
Your bio says you're born and raised in Hawaii. Where? On this island?
I was born on the island of Oahu, Kalihi area. And my family is from Hawaii Island originally.
Now, we're also joined by a member of the Kahakai Trail Association, Ulu Ching. She's on the board. For about 10 years, she was with the University of Hawaii at Hilo as the program coordinator for Pacific Island Programs for Exploring Science and still is affiliated with UH Hilo. She's also now the senior program manager for the Community-Based Conservation International Center for Oceans. Ulu, aloha.
Aloha.
So tell us, what is the Alakahakai Trail?
The Alakahakai National Historic Trail, designated in the year 2000, really is a system of ancient and historic trails on the West Hawaii shoreline.
So it's only in West Hawaii?
Well, actually, the trail system went throughout all the islands. However, the designated corridor was from Upolu Point to South Point and into Volcanoes National Park along the shoreline.
Oh, interesting. So the rest of the trail existed. Does it still exist in places around other parts of the island?
Well, it absolutely does. And we always get questions like, how come the trail doesn't go around the island, or how come it doesn't take you from Upolu to Pololu? We always get that question. And we always say, you know what? You can always restore your trails, whether it's designated or not. Just need to use them, get on them and use them.
Right. Well, that's what I thought, that the trail still existed, because I hear talk of people in other parts of the island taking advantage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There is another name, the Alaloa Trail.
It's the same thing. Alaloa in Hawaiian language is generic for long distant trail. The Alakahakai is also Alaloa as well. And again, you have several Alaloa within the corridor of Alakahakai.
So tell us, when was it created, by whom, for what? How was this trail used back when?
It was created when the first Polynesians actually set foot in Hawaii about 2,000 years ago, and actually permanent settlements began to occur in Hawaii. And of course, you need to have trails to get around. So these trails, many of them still exist today and are still in use.
Who do you think actually started them? Was it like an official thing, or it just was a thing that happened because people needed to get from place to place?
Yeah, I really think people needed to get to water sources, people needed to get to food sources, and so that's how these trails came about.
I've been told that the Alakahakai Trail, although the main part of it is really along the coastline, that there are also Maukamakai trails that connect to it, maybe part of it. Give us a sense of the relationship of all the trails, and then also to the Ahupua'a, the land divisions. Help us understand more fully what the role of that trail was and all the trails.
Okay, you know, when the trail was first designated, it was actually designated to be a single trail, continuous trail along the shoreline. And when we went out and did our consultations with the public for the creation of our management plan for the trail, we were told that the Maukamakai, or the Mountains to the Sea trails, were very important for the Native Hawaiians because they lived in the Ahupua'a, or in that land division, and that they would access the ocean or the mountains for whatever they needed to gather. So these trails are really important, and so we incorporated them into the trail corridor. So what you have are lateral trails going along the shoreline that are intersected by trails that go up from the mountain to the sea, which creates then a system of trails.
How much of the Alakahakai Trail is still intact, readily accessible, readily visible?
We estimate around maybe 70% of the trail is accessible today, that you can actually go on it. However, we do not encourage people to go in places that are not managed well.
Well, talk a little more about that. Help us understand what you mean by that. Well, because I've been on parts of the trail. For example, I was not long ago up in Kiholo, and there's a really nice part of the trail up there that you can walk along next to the shoreline. And there's other parts of the trail that come down more towards South Kona. But how would we know if we're at the trail, on the trail? How would we know if it's a good place to be at the trail? Tell us more, Eric.
Well, if you see signage, if you see directional signage, we work closely with our state partners in the Alahele Trails and Access Program, state of Hawaii, and they have the trails marked. So these are the trails that we try to encourage people to go on, these trails that are marked and safe and managed well. Places like Kiholo, you're in a state park over there, that trail there is managed pretty well as well.
Well, one thing people should understand about the trail, the parts of the trail that I've been on are pretty much rocky trails. It's not like you're hiking in the mountains where you have dirt and trees and things like that. So you also have to be, I will use the term, a little bit sure-footed.
Absolutely. You do need to know where you're going. And a lot of times, because these trails are being used, you can actually see the path. So it's not like you're going through that nobody's walked on. But, you know, these trails are pretty much crunched down already and pretty much visible when it goes to the lava flow.
You know, you're at the coast, so you're not up in the Kuahivis where it's, you know, might be muddy or wet or anything like that. But you are at the coast and the conditions are, you know, hot, dry. And so I think when Art talks about managed, you know, again, signage and the safety of it, being informed of what you need to safely traverse is a big part of it, because you are in some pretty rugged conditions and sure-footedness is a big part of it. Mm. And being well prepared to enjoy the trails is a big part of your experience.
The trail goes through some national park lands, it goes on state lands, it goes on county lands, also goes through lands that may be in private ownership. So talk about that whole aspect of ownership and whether there's some right of people to pass on the trail, even though it may go through private lands.
About 50% of the trail is owned by government, public, and then 50% by private interests. We have a memorandum of understanding with both the state of Hawaii and the county to work with them on implementing our trail plan and creating or restoring the trails as it goes through government lands. When it comes to private property, basically it's all voluntary on the part of the private landowners to allow people to come on the trail. However, some of these trails go back to the Kingdom of Hawaii. And back in 1892, the Kingdom of Hawaii passed a law called the Highways Act. And that Highways Act declared trails on private property to be the property of the Kingdom of Hawaii. And so that law has remained in our statutes till today. That's a really effective tool for us to be able to reassert public ownership of trails that go through private property that have not been developed. The onus is on us to be able to prove that the trail was not surrendered by the government in the past. And so an abstract has to be done, and that's what our partners in the State Na'alahele program will do to make sure that the state of Hawaii could reassert ownership of the trail.
Have you found private landowners to be willing to work with you to make that trail available for public access?
Not all, but a lot of the private landowners are open to it. And, you know, a lot of it is because if they're developing these lands, a county will require them to provide public access. And so our agreement with the county to implement our trail plan, they will come to us and say, hey, somebody's pulling a permit here. We need to require public access. Where shall we do this? Where are the trails? And that's how we can help with the preservation of these alignments and at the same time work with these landowners in providing that access.
When you talk about going back and actually tracing the title to make sure that the kingdom did not at some time surrender the property, boy, is that a complicated process.
Well, it is. It is. And the state of Hawaii has one abstractor working for the Na'alahele program that does this kind of work. And she's fluent in Hawaiian, and, you know, she can read the language, she can read the old deeds and what have you, yeah.
Good, because clouded title is really a tricky thing if you can't really go back and trace and prove. I mean, it's true in any place in the country, but certainly here where there were a lot of verbal agreements and some of the written documentation was not perhaps as clear, or the boundaries of things were not as clear just because the Hawaiians initially had no written language. I mean, that makes it very tricky.
I would say yes. And yet, you know, I think there is a lot of good oral history and other ways of communicating, you know, what is what and whose is whose and where is where. But it certainly is helpful when you have someone who is familiar with the language and can interpret the nuances of what's being said in those official documents such that you get the good information.
I want to ask you about the ahupua'a concept, because it's a concept that we hear a lot about. It was a very organized system, as I understand it, but the Alakahakai Trail connected the island and essentially connected the people who lived in different ahupua'a or different land divisions. Tell us more about that system, how it came about. Help us get into that time period and that thought process.
Ahupua'a, you know, generally we think of them now as those wedge-shaped land divisions that served communities or a system of families, a network of families. And it is that, it was that. But it's also, you can think about ahupua'a as resource divisions. Ahupua'a generally had within them the ability to really support and contain families and communities, and they still do to a certain degree today. But that's why the trails are so important, because they connected Mauka to Makai and then across ahupua'a. So I think in terms of overall environmental management, the ahupua'a system becomes important because you can stay local, you can access resources, you know, up and down the coast, but also up and down Mauka to Makai. So it becomes this kind of movement in eating local, staying local, and sustainability. You know, we're kind of trying to revert back to that today, and the trail systems actually help us to connect across and up and down. And it's probably even more important today as we try and think of staying local and being sustainable. The trails actually help us to do that and think about that more in the 2017 context of ahupua'a.
Give us a sense of what an ahupua'a would be like for a family living inside an ahupua'a. When you talk about resources, what kind of resources would be in the ahupua'a, or what would they have to seek outside, and how would they actually go about doing that? Because you can't just go into another ahupua'a and start taking stuff for yourself, as I understand it. So tell us more about the system and how it worked and the relationships.
Food resources are probably the number one thing that people accessed. Everything that you needed in everyday life to support your family and your communities, from hala, pandanus, you have your weaving of the pandanus, to limu down at the coast, all of those things you would need. If you think about what you need today, you needed it back then too. So, you know, having not time traveled back to the 1600s, you know, there definitely is a process and a protocol for visiting neighboring ahupua'a. And usually there was a lot of familial ties. I think the importance of the family and communal ties really facilitated the exchange within ahupua'a.
The ahupua'a went basically from the top of the mountain to or through into the ocean, yes?
That's correct. You know, early explorers, when they came to Hawaii, they were fascinated by how sophisticated the irrigation systems were and how they brought water down through the lo'i or the taro patches. It was just one big garden, basically, how Kau at one point was described as, yeah.
And that's intriguing to think about Kau as one big garden, given that it has an awful lot of dry spaces these days.
That's correct, yeah. Well, you know, sugar played a lot big role in that, yeah.
And a brief interruption to remind you, today we're talking about the Alakahakai Trail with Eric Arakaki, who is with the National Park Service, and Ulu Ching, who's with the Alakahakai Trail Association, a supportive organization that helps in maintenance and preservation of this ancient trail. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. We're here every Sunday, 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country, 107.7 FM, 8 a.m. Lava 105.3 FM, or listen to the podcast anytime, lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Next Sunday is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and on Thanksgiving, 25 million people, including many in Hawaii, will be watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which this year includes the Hawaii All-State Band. Next Sunday, we'll hear all about the background details of how the parade gets to TV and an update on this year's parade from the TV producer for NBC, Bill Bracken, my brother. Let's get back to the Alakahakai Trail discussion. Who came up with the Ahupua'a system initially? Who made the land divisions?
Prior to the arrival of Pau and Pili, lands were divided a little differently amongst those who were living here in Hawaii. And that goes back to those practitioners whose families, they can trace back those stories before 1100 or so.
Well, the Ahupua'a system seems just so logical and organized, and a lot of thought went into it.
Well, when you have to survive based with just what you have available to you, and whether that's mauka or makai, I think you get pretty good at developing systems that ensure you're surviving and then thriving. So I think the complexity of Ahupua'a is a result of generations of knowledge and practice and living not just on the land, but with the land and the resources and these complex systems, or what some would describe as complex, but maybe dynamic is another fun word to use. You have to get pretty creative and utilize what you have to survive.
You know, these systems evolve over time too. And as a population grows, you need more food, and then more food creates more population. And so they estimate that the population of Hawaii was about 150,000 when Captain Cook arrived. And so that means you're feeding 150,000 people every day. That's a lot of food.
That is a lot of food. How did the Alakahakai Trail come to be under the aegis, the stewardship of the National Park Service?
Well, basically, a law was introduced by Senator Akaka, or an act was introduced by Senator Akaka, to designate the western shoreline of Hawaii Island as a National Historic Trail. But prior to that, the Park Service had to do a feasibility study. And prior to that, you know, it was a movement locally here by a group called E Maunalahele and others that advocated for the creation of this trail system. And that actually came about as a result of really Kahumanu Highway coming in, and then all of the development potential that it opened up. So a group of concerned local citizens created this organization to advocate for the protection of trails and the resources and the sites that these trails take you to.
And that's a really good point. As development became more extensive on the west side of Hawaii Island, pretty clearly the trail would be impacted, whereas before people couldn't really get to it easily unless they were walking on it. You couldn't just walk over a lava from some unknown point to find it. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense. So being under the protection of the National Park Service, what does that do for the trail? What does that do for the people of Hawaii? Why is it good? I'm assuming you think it's good because you work for them. But
it's great. It's great for the people of Hawaii because, you know, we are really celebrating the Hawaiian culture. We're celebrating how our ancestors lived and how they circulated, how they got around the island, how they thrived. We're also talking about the history of the chiefs of the Makahiki. The Makahiki was, they went on the trail once a year to circle the island on the Makahiki. So, you know, just a lot of history that happened on the trail. And it's not only the trail, but it's what the trail brings you to that's as important. That's all the sites, the fishing areas, your holua slides, your heiau, your fishing areas. It really brought the culture together.
How are the cultural, archaeological, and natural resources protected now that the trail is under the aegis of the National Park Service, which I assume is one of the reasons for making it part of the National Park System?
It brings more attention to the trail and to the resources. And we already have great laws, the Historic Preservation Act, the State Historic Preservation Act, Environmental Protection Act. So we're able to utilize these laws to be able to bring layers of protection to the trail and to sites and to our environment as well. And as important is to connect or reconnect or enhance the connections that families who have these ancestral connections to these places, which is just as important in my opinion as the trail is or as these sites are, is that the connection that families and people have from way back when to today.
Well, when you talk about connections, there's the stories that people have had handed down through their families.
Well, I think that it's a careful situation that the Park Service has to manage when you open up access to these sensitive sites. You don't want to adversely affect those resources or those cultural sites. So there's a delicate dance in terms of opening up and helping people to reconnect to these sites, these practices, these resources, while also maintaining the integrity of the trail itself and what it stands for, as well as the sites that they lead to. And I think that's where a lot of the community partnerships and the work that the Alakakai Trail Association also partners with the Park Service is finding that balance and maintaining the integrity of the trail and making sure families and communities have access to them, continue to be able to engage and reconnect without disrupting or disturbing the sites and the resources that they may lead to.
Tell us more about the role of the Alakakai Trail Association. What is your partnership role?
So we are a nonprofit organization that works in partnership, in very good collaboration with the Park Service, to help implement the National Park Service's management plan. We are an organization that really seeks to support communities and families and individuals along the trail to help reconnect, engage, and manage, and kind of empower them to reconnect to the trail and to the sites and the resources that they lead to. Yeah.
Do you raise money to help fund maintenance or protection of the trail?
We do. We have our own kind of mechanisms for fundraising for projects along the trail, and we work with the Park Service to also fundraise through their own avenues and their mechanisms to fund projects and initiatives.
How have you found the families who may have connections to the trail, ancestral connections?
Well, I think that a lot of times families and individuals find us, and other times we find them. There are families and communities that still live their connections and how they access their traditional sites or through the trails. So their pilina or their relationship is pretty pa'a, it's pretty solid. And so they may, in some cases, seek out the Alakakai Trail Association, ATA, and or the NPS, and they may say, hey, you know, we have some hana, some work that needs to be done, or we're trying to do these different activities. You know, what kind of resources or what kind of partnership opportunities are available? So that's exciting. And then when there are specific segments of the trails or different sites that the organization, ATA or NPS, might seek out because of the sensitive nature, maybe due to development or, you know, whatever it may be, we might seek out, you know, resource users, landowners, community members, ohana in that situation. So it really just depends.
You know, our plan, the policy that's stated in our plan is descendant-led, community-based management. And so with the Trail Association and NPS, we work with communities to develop management plans for their segment of the trail. And, you know, who better can manage an area that they've been connected with for so long and know these places so well? We think that they can really teach us how to manage these areas. And at the same time, we can help to bring resources into these areas to work with government and public and private to manage these segments of the trail and create some jobs for our community.
Jobs, that's always a good key word, huh?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
How does it create jobs for the community?
Well, we're looking at a 175-mile corridor, 20 au pua'a. Every foot of this trail really needs to be cared for. So that's just on-the-ground kind of management. Then also there is interpretation that can be done. There are accommodations that perhaps the communities may want to host visitors. And when I say visitors, it's not only tourists, but it's local people as well who want to learn about their culture, about their shoreline. And you can integrate schooling, you can integrate science, you can integrate culture into this trail. So it's not only a trail, but it's a living classroom.
Well, and it's been shown that kids oftentimes learn a little better if they're actually doing something physical at a site rather than just sitting in a classroom. So having a trail where they can go out and see it and really begin to understand, gee, what was life like before? You know, it's not like it is now. And to grasp that part of our island's history.
Mm-hmm.
You have spoken of an overall management plan, and I know you have a booklet that describes the plan. How did this management plan come about?
We actually went out and consulted with many communities within the Trail Corridor as well as in Hilo. We met with at least 15 communities from Kapa'au all the way to Hilo. We did two rounds of these meetings, and we spoke with our kupuna. We spoke with residents and old-timers and newcomers, and that's how we came out about with the policy of community-based management led by those who have those ancestral connections to the trail on a segment-by-segment or ahupua by ahupua basis.
How's that working out? Are people stepping up to the task?
People are. People are actually stepping up to the task.
I think as people increasingly look to issues of sustainability and reconnection, both culturally and, you know, environmentally, I think the trail provides the perfect avenue for establishing that reconnection and making the practices real again for them.
You have talked to me about water trails. Tell us a little bit about that.
When we had our community consultation meetings over our development of our plan, they mentioned to us that don't forget the canoe trails, the water trails, because that was used a lot, especially in the Kona district, where the waters are really calm and the lands are very dry. And so canoes were used quite a bit back in the day.
Is it practical to somehow note water trails? How are you doing that, if you are doing that?
We did not include water trails in our plan. However, the plan does talk about restoration and identification of canoe landings and canoe sheds or haleva'a.
One of those is at Kauanaiki, I believe.
They built a canoe shed or a haleva'a at Kauanaiki.
How do people find the Alakahakai Trail?
If you're on the shoreline, you're on the trail. Just look down, and if you're on the shoreline, you're on a trail. We not only protect and preserve trails, but also routes. So you may not have a trail there, but we know that at one time there was, and so it was a route. So for these segments, it's a matter of reestablishing or restoring the trail to the fabric that's closest to it. People find the trail by just basically going to the ocean and walking on the trail.
I think that's one thing I wanted to add is that you have the word trail and you automatically, your brain goes to a 3 foot, 4 foot wide, you know, lane. And yet we know that there are a lot of sections of the trail where, again, like Arik was saying, it's a general route. You're not going to be on a beaten path per se, but you're in an area that is a part of the trail. It's a part of the system. It's a part of the network. I think that's a good way of describing it. If you're at the coast, you might be on the trail.
And, you know, the trails that are managed and marked are the trail in South Kohala called Alakahakai, and it's managed by the state of Hawaii. And that's where we got our name from. Just want to make it really clear that Alakahakai is more of a modern construct. It is not an ancient way of describing the trail. But again, more of a modern construct, you know, terms like alaloa are terms that were used in olden days to describe or talk about the trail. The trails are also located in the national parks, I mean state parks. So these are the trails that are managed that I just described right now. Other than that, they're not quite managed. However, people do go and use them. People have been using them for a long time.
There's also parts of the trail that go, for example, through private developments such as the Kauanaiki, which is south of Kona Airport. Mm-hmm. And don't a lot of those developments put markings so people know where the trail is, so people, particularly who are visitor people, understand that there is a trail there? This is not just a seemingly random rocky path, that it's a thing.
Yeah, absolutely, especially in the South Kohala area where there's the resorts and different developments. And a part of the work of the NPS and the ATA is to work with those private landowners and those larger developments to note those historical aspects of their property so that visitors as well as local people who are in the area can know that there's more to that place than the concrete that's around it. You know, there is that deep history and it's partially represented in that trail.
They did a really good job at marking the trail at Kauanaiki. We worked with them on it. It's really well done. Our focus now is on South Kohala. We want to be able to mark the trail with our historic trail logo. And so we are working with State Na'alehele and with all the resorts, with the resort communities and with the communities of Waikoloa, Kauai High, Puako, Waialea. We're right now going through a series of meetings where we're informing the community of what we're going to be doing.
Oh,
and
very
getting
cool.
And getting their input as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I hadn't realized that the trail was only officially designated in West Hawaii. Is there any plan or intent, do you think, to designate officially the rest of the trail, even though the rest of the trail clearly exists between Hawaii Volcanoes National Park and, say, Waipio Valley or way into Waimea and back around?
We want to encourage people to get out and walk on trails and identify where their trails are and start to use them. We hope that one day the communities will take it upon themselves to want to make this happen. But, you know, we want to support these efforts of local people and everyone to get out and start using our trails and get out of our cars and, you know, start walking down to the beach on our Makamakai trails and walk along the shoreline and go to places using our trails.
Well, it's also a good, healthy thing.
Absolutely. Seeing how we can become integrated more in alternative transportation modes and circulation plans.
It sounds like the focus is not just on preserving ancient history, but in bringing ancient history and contributing to the modern age when you talk
Absolutely.
About what you're talking about.
Absolutely. It's really recognizing and learning about our history and then incorporating that into how people get around so that it makes sense.
The trails always served a functional purpose. They were established for functional reasons, you know, to get from here to there, to traverse Ahupua'a to Ahupua'a. And really, we're trying to just perpetuate that. There's a functionality to the trails, getting down to the beach and using that trail. I think a layer deeper is also to really realize that the trail is representative of a journey that we're all on to reconnect with our place and our sites and our resources. And being able to walk in the footsteps of those that came before, it's really powerful. And it is like you're on your own journey. You know, you're getting somewhere, but you're also reconnecting in a deeper way. And that is also an important work and something that we believe in strongly, that the trail still serves that functional role within our communities, and that it also plays this deeper role of having our people, both newcomers and old timers, to connect and to reconnect and to really dig deep and deepen that pilina.
Some months ago, Jerome Kanuha, who is a member of Keaho Canoe Club, had set up a canoe race that he named the Alakahakai just to honor the trail. And he talked about how when he was a kid, he and his cousins would walk the trail. They would start in Kohala and they would walk and they would surf and they would spend the night, and they would walk and they would surf and spend the night. They would do it all the way from South Kohala down to Kailua Kona. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was an interesting way he and his family learned more about the existence of the trail, because that was the way they walked down to go to all their surfing spots. I agree with you, Ulu. It's a way to connect, but also a way to understand. It was just transportation.
That's a good life, yeah. It sounds like a nice week-long endless summer journey. You walk the trail and you surf, and you walk the trail and you surf.
And fish,
you know. And
that's what they did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you go through your life having that cycle. And within that cycle is that connection. It does that. And it can still do that today. It just looks a little different. But the trail is here to perpetuate that deep mana'o of people on land, in places. That's a really strong element of the work and the trail itself.
I think what Ulu is saying is that this trail is a sacred trail. That so much history has happened upon. So many people in Hawaii in ancient times used that trail. In certain respects, you know, they're still there. The presence is still felt. So something that's really, really important that people need to understand, so that when they go on the trail, there's a sense of reverence that we want to promote. We want people to feel safe on the trail. We want people to be safe. We want people to feel welcomed. And we want our communities to be able to also be welcoming of people on the trail, yeah, as it always was. Kamehameha passed his law, the splinter paddle, which then declared these trails to be safe trails, where you can go on these trails and not be accosted or assaulted.
I think the points you've just made are important. The trail is sacred, but the trail is a modern convenience as well. And I think that's an important point, because we can't live in the past with everything being unavailable to today's people. Otherwise, our island just gets smaller and smaller if there's so many places where you can't go. But the trail is very functional still.
Very much so. It can serve you and you can serve it. I think that that's a mana'o that more people could probably feel connected to.
Well, and it also reminds us that our entire island, including this trail, we need to take care of it. And so if one's going to use the trail, one has to be respectful of the land.
Taking care of trails, clearing trails, repairing trails is a cultural practice. Sometimes we take these for granted, but this is what people did for centuries. You know, they took care of their trails. They took pride in the work that they put into these trails. Clearing trails is a cultural practice as much as fishing is, or weaving, or lei making, you know. If you wanted to go and gather flowers in the mountain, you have to have a good trail. You took care of your trails.
A parallel example of that is va'a culture. You malama your va'a.
Canoes.
Right, right. Because getting from place to place via the ocean and canoes is very much a part of the history of Hawaii as well. So how you go about caring for your canoe, it's the same thing with your trails. That was a specific and a very important cultural practice.
What else do you want to add before we say aloha?
Well, I just want to mahalo everyone who is involved with trails, who have been clearing trails for so many years. We have a group in South Kona that have been clearing trails for 15 years, clearing that old Kingdom Road. And I just want to shout out to them that they're doing such a great job. And to all the communities that we work with, mahalo for all the support and aloha.
Ulu, anything final before we say aloha?
I think as an educator at heart and a next generation supporter, I think I'll throw the challenge out there to the youth and the next generation to get out there and get involved in your communities. And the trail is a perfect way to do that. Talk to your kupuna, talk to your makua, find out a little bit more about your place and fulfill that kuleana, seek out the work.
Erica, if people want to reach you and learn more about the Alakahakai Historic Trail, how do they do that?
Well, we have a website, both the Trail Association and NPS. We have websites, nps.gov/ALKA, nps.gov/ALKA.
ALKA?
Correct.
Okay. And you can just actually Google Alakahakai Trail.
You can just Google Alakahakai Trail and I'll, yeah.
And it's not very hard to spell, Alakahakai. Thank you so much, Eric Arakaki, for being with us today. Aloha.
You're welcome. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Ulu Ching, for being with us today.
Oh, mahalo nui.
And to our listeners, thank you so much. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. I'll see you next Sunday morning for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui hou.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.